Listen easy, you can hear God calling, walking barefoot by a stream.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show at Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salen, and I so love that song. Thank you, Elvis, and thank you, Neil Diamond, for writing it. You can email me with questions or comments at bruce@brucesalen.com. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of bettermencoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. Bettermencoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Hello, Bruce.
How you doing today, this fine August summer day?
Fabulous.
Good.
Fabulous.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So I've been posing the question in not only the column but in segment one about unconditional love. There's certain quarters that believe in unconditional love, especially when it relates to kids. And I've asked the question in segment one, if your child, God forbid, were the Colorado shooter, how far would you go in support of him, not only as far as your love, but as far as his defense and all that? So it's a very extreme case. And I'd love your thoughts not only on that, but on how you feel about unconditional love between a husband and wife.
Well, these hypothetical questions, you know, I sort of stay away from because I have no idea. How would anyone know where they would go, how they would feel if some extraordinary event happened in their lives? I can only imagine that my love for my son would not change. Now, how I feel about the act, what I do around supporting him, you know, the situation would sort of dictate. But I think that real love is unconditional. And the love that we have for our children oftentimes is completely different than what we might have for a mate. And if you're on a second or third marriage and you've been burned and you're protecting your assets,
gee, I have no idea what that would be like.
Then you know, how your context going into subsequent marriages is going to be different. But
yes.
Love
yes.
is not the same as the contract. You know, how you feel about someone is I think very separate from what you need to do.
Well, what's so interesting, I completely agree with you, but to reinforce a gender stereotype, women more often, in my experience, when the subject of, say, a prenuptial agreement is brought up in a second marriage, or in the case of a wealthy man getting married the first time, will often conflate the two. How can you love me if you want me to sign this deal, however good or generous or fair it may be? So I think, it's not, and of course, not only women would do that, but I do think it's more common, of course, for a rich man to marry a younger woman and demand a prenuptial, and very common for a woman to have that sort of response.
Right, but we're really not, we're talking about so many different things at once.
Yes, as usual.
We're not talking about love. Now we're talking about men, fear. We're talking about all their life experiences coming to bear. We're talking about women wanting to feel secure, and the notion of a prenup undermines the security because now there is that real stated possibility that this relationship could end.
So I'm curious. You've advised individuals and couples. When this topic has come up, do you advise for or against it, or again, is it all depending on the circumstances?
Are we talking about a prenup?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, prenups are fine.
Okay.
But that's a separate issue from, as a man, how are you going into this relationship?
Okay, so how does that relate? I think I know where you're going, but expand on that.
Well, a prenup is business. If you have major assets, and you want to protect your children, your heirs, if you've gone through a previous relationship and you've been burned, then you have feelings and you have fears, and you need to do what's in your best interest. And part of what will make that marriage strong is having a woman who completely understands where you're coming from and why you're doing what you're doing. The existence of a prenup does not have to undermine the strength of the relationship, but that has everything to do with who the two people are and how much work they've done, and you know how clear they are about what their relationship is. So I have no problems with the prenup. It makes perfect sense. No matter who has the money.
Right, right. I agree. It's not about who has the money. It's very interesting. A distant family member got engaged, and when he brought the prenuptial to the table, it eventually broke up the relationship. So obviously, it was sensitive in that case. I don't know all the details.
Well,
other than
anything's possible now. Right. You know, it's easy to say, well, when the prenup came up, then she had a reaction and that ended it. But how did he handle it? What conversations, you know, took place prior to it? I mean, the way we handle these things is very important.
Oh, I'm not blaming her, to be very clear. In fact, what little I know about it, it sounds like he was a little bit stupid, letting a beautiful woman, I don't mean beautiful outside, but a good woman, let's just use it that way, go over niggly stuff that was in the prenuptial he presented her. And when she reacted, instead of him maybe paying attention, he just got, you know, dug in his heels.
Right. So the prenup is like anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're not paying attention, if you're not a good listener, if you don't have your head on straight, that, like many other things, will blow up a relationship. And so I've counseled a lot of guys around prenups, and it's all about being honest and bringing it up early and being really clear about how you feel and giving her time to think about it and then having, you know, adult conversations around it. And several of the men that I've worked with, they've gone through that, and it's no problem. But the bigger issue is their issues, you know, who they are as men, and that's what our focus is. It'll just show up. It'll show up everywhere, right? How you are in one area of your life is how you are everywhere. That's why it's important to do the work to become more conscious and clearer about what's motivating your actions.
Well, well said. I've heard that sort of talk from you for years, and so it's very familiar, and I do agree with it. I do think in the case, the extreme case of a child committing a heinous crime, it's a horror for the family on any level. And you're right, nobody really knows what they would do. I love my sons a great deal. I have a hard time imagining, of course, as anybody does, my kids ever doing something that bad. But if they did, I can't imagine, at least me, that it wouldn't affect me in a very, very large way. And whether you call it love or I just stopped liking them, that seems to be a lot of the comments I've gotten on the column is, well, I'm separating the love and the like. I would really not like the act, and I would be really sad, but I would never stop loving him or her.
I think that's probably what most people would go through.
And that's what the comments have been. Although occasionally some of the comments were sort of the new agey, you know, all love is pure, and, you know, who are you to judge? And
yeah, well, let them experience crisis, and we'll find out how they step up to the plate.
Exactly.
Talk is cheap.
I'm
reluctant to talk about it because, you know, who knows until you're in their shoes? But, you know, we talked about this act the other day and about, you know, you're talking about evil, I'm talking about mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone who does something like that is, there's something going on. And are they in control? Are they not in control? I mean, it's not about forgiving the act, but it's about acknowledging, hey, there's something wrong with this guy. There's something wrong going on inside of his head. And, you know, do I stop loving him because of that? I don't know.
Well, again, if it's not a family member, it's not as complicated an issue. But,
sure.
You know, this idea that every big, horrible, evil act can only be perpetuated by someone who is mentally ill, I just don't buy. I don't believe that the great villains of history, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Saddam Hussein, etc., were all mentally ill. These were just pure evil people, or the current leadership in Syria. These are evil people. They just buy their own BS and perpetuate evil and an ideology, especially someone like a Hitler. Now you can point to causes, but is this mental illness or is it narcissism in many ways?
Well, narcissistic personality disorder is in the DSM book, and so the psychiatrist will say yes, it's mental illness, and there's a name and there's a number next to it in the book. So there's a category for everyone you mentioned.
On that, as we're out of time, why don't you tell our listeners where they can reach you?
I'm at bettermencoaching.com, and you can find my book and find out about our retreat in October in Santa Barbara and see what we're doing to coach men to be the best they can be.
Wayne, thank you very much. We'll talk with you next week, I hope.
Yes, sir.
And please stay tuned. It is time for a break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen, and we will be back with Teen Rap and Pastor Drew Sams.
Never back up, but I saw him crying like a little whip pup because of love. Can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, it can lift you up.